Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet. Lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. And these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide as your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Jubilee, and out of Zion's Give the Lord a clap of praise once again. Amen. He deserves the glory and the honor. Amen. Amen. We always keep in mind, amen, when we clap for Him. He's the one that deserves the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thomas, you want to help us take up our offering? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just sing this song. Sing the song as he passes that. Draw me, Lord, key of F.
Come running after you.
draw me, Lord. Oh, draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you. Yes, draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Aren't you thankful that He's the one that does the drawing? Amen. No one can come to Him unless the Father draws Him first. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing this song. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing this. Keep on the firing line. Page 315. Key of G. Amen. No matter how evil the world gets, no matter what's happening out in the world, we must still stay fighting. I mean, where else can we go? Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Oh, keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the firing line. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. God will only use the soldier He can trust. So keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Oh, keep on firing line. Life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never, never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, when we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Oh, keep on the firing line. I will praise the Savior for the call we had. Oh, keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Sing it again. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind.
Bless you, buddy. Love you.
If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Amen. Give him a hand clap of praise. He deserves all the glory and all the honor. It's not our fight anyway. It's His fight. Amen.
Sometimes we just get in the way of the punches. But it's God's fight. He's already won them. He don't start a battle to lose. He starts a battle to win. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be alive and well. Good to be a Christian. I don't know what I'd probably be crazy, I guess. All of us would. This life that we live now, Paul said, this life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. I don't know if, man, Brother Donnie, that old life, man, how in the world you get back to that? Amen. Because that old man's dead. We don't even know how to act anymore. Out like we used to act up in the world. We start acting like Christian. Because we got God in our heart. Let me give you these announcements. December the 1st, Brother Aaron will be preaching. That's this coming Wednesday night. I will be in Illinois. I think I'm going to leave Tuesday afternoon. So I won't be here, but I'll be streaming in from the deer stand. So December the 4th. Now coming up December the 4th, I won't be here, so we won't have any Bible study. We'll wait and have it later on. December the 5th, Brother Martin Varela, we all know him. He comes at a lot of the meetings that we have from Lawrenceville. He will be speaking for you on Sunday, both services. And we will not have communion that Sunday. We'll wait and have it when we are here, all of us are here. Also, December the 8th, Brother Bob will be preaching. December the 12th, there'll be one service. We met Brother Ebenezer, not Ebenezer, whatever difference that is. Ebenezer and Sister Wyvine are going to get married that day on December the 12th. There'll only be one service. The second service at 2 o'clock will be the wedding. All right, then you need to, downstairs, you need to, come on in. Downstairs, you need, there's a sign-up sheet downstairs for you to sign up on the refrigerator if you're going to the, if you're going to the dinner, all right? If you're going to the dinner, to the reception, you need to sign up downstairs, all right? That will be at 6 o'clock that evening, all right? December the 15th, Brother Aaron will be preaching for us. December the 19th, we'll be having one service, and it is here. We're going to do just like we did last year. We're going to have one service here, and then we're all going to drive down to Hidden Acres. There's really no, it's kind of hard for the guys. They did it when we had our 50th anniversary. There's a lot of equipment. If we have church service down there, we do the live streaming, and we do the videoing, and we do the, have all the instruments down there. It's a big undertaking for them to do. So I don't want them to do that. We want them to not have to do that, on that time that we eat. I mean, it takes up a lot of their day. So we'll just have a church service here, and then we'll go down there to Hidden Acres where we had it last year, where we had our Valentine's banquet. We'll have, dinner, and we'll have our Christmas party at that time. All right. So that will be December the 19th. We'll still have service here. December the 26th, there'll be only one service. That will be the Sunday after Christmas Day will be on Saturday. So on December the 26th, we'll have one service at 11 o'clock. A lot of you will be gone. That's okay. But for us, it's going to be here. I think we still need to have a church service. I was looking back a couple of days ago. Brother Branham had a lot of services on Christmas Day. If his Sunday fell on Christmas, you know, Christmas Day was on Sunday. He had service. He preached a lot of services on December the 25th. Amen. Also, this afternoon, when we get finished, we're going to have Brother Luis and his family. Y'all excuse me for my voice. For Brother Luis and his family to come up here, and we're going to pray over them, give them some prayer cloths. Probably give you a bunch of prayer cloths if you want to take them and give them out to the people down there. And we may not have a bunch, but we'll have a few. All right, to take with him. He's going to be gone for like 7 weeks to Central America. So let's pray they don't close the borders while he's gone. Pray that he gets back. All right. And also, Terrence has already made it well known, but my new daughter-in-law is back there somewhere. Miss Joshua Dale, I'll introduce her to you as that. And all know her as Leah. So welcome to the family. She don't know what she's getting into, but when the drugs wear off, she... yeah. So anyway, she'll be all right. I think that's it. Wow, I'm at the bottom of the list. But just pray for each other. This is a hard season for a lot of people. It's fun season for some, but it's a real hard season for a lot of people. That's lost loved ones between last time and this time. Some of you that have lost loved ones need to comfort the ones that have lost loved ones recently and stick together. Prayer is the greatest thing that you can offer. I can't offer condolences because I've not lost anybody. But I sure can pray for you that the Comforter himself will give you the comfort. This is only temporary down here anyway. When we meet back together, Kathy and Ray, you never have to ever part again. Ever. Don't have to worry about nothing. You'll never part again. You'll be there for an eternity. So this is just part of the journey. All right? But we want to be sensitive about to the people that have lost loved ones. And a lot of this COVID stuff, people have lost loved ones for different things, different reasons. We want to continue to pray for Brother Rostrum in the hospital there in Greenville with the massive heart attack. But God knows what he's doing. He'll bring him out of it. Amen. Satan got mad at him for doing what he did. He exposed a bunch of people that was trying to discredit the cloud, and he absolutely debunked all their, I guess you might say, they tried to be scientific, but Brother Bill, he just broke that thing down, and there's no way you cannot believe that was done by a rocket. No way. Done by a rocket? You see what that makes? A rocket don't put all those signs and symbols in there, okay? Mm-mm. So, I believe it. I believe it. I believe God came into this end time. He hasn't left. But he came into this end time and gave us signs to tell us where we're at. Amen? How many of you have ever been down a road there was no signs on the side of the road? Kind of rough, isn't it? But when you got these signs that says turn here or go here or do this, that really helps. So he gave us some signs, but he gave us the word. And the word's the one that we want to always back into the word of God. Don't quotes and different things, that's fine. But we want to make sure the word of God is our number one preference. Amen. So let's go to John 1 and read that again, and then we'll continue on. We'll skip through a little bit of that from this morning. I think we detailed a good bit this morning. And then we'll get into a few things that I want to make sure we understand. Because listen, this guy, this son of man, this person, he was our brother. So the things he went through, that's what the paradox is. The things he went through, he suffered. Over here. He suffered. Bible said he learned by the things he suffered. He didn't have any friends. I mean, and everybody hated him. And the ones that did like him, one of them was the devil. So he didn't have he only had a tight group of people, and they really didn't understand who he was until he came back on the day of Pentecost. But he came here not for his own self. That's one person when we see this son of man, I know why that brotherly kindness is way up there, because see, he exhibited brotherly kindness more than anybody's ever, because he died for people he knew hated him. He died for people that knew that would never receive him. But he died for them anyway. Amen? He came and did what he did and died so that this whole world can accept him. But we know they're not going to. And he did too. He knew they weren't going to see it. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. I appreciate the time that you give us on this earth, Lord. And for the ones, Lord, that have lost loved ones and different things, this is a hard time of the year. Lord, I pray that you'd be the comfort that never was comfort before. Satan hates comfort. He likes to keep us all stirred up. But Lord, you're the Prince of Peace. You're the Prince of Comfort. And you can comfort us where nobody else can, Lord. Job tried to have some comforters, and boy, they really messed up. But when you came on the scene, Elihu came on the scene, you told Job, said, stand up, son. stand up and see that your Redeemer is here. And Lord, I pray that we see that our Redeemer is here, not somewhere else, not died 2,000 years ago, not up in heaven, but right here. Lord, in the hearts and lives of your people. Father, we pray that you'd bless us in the furtherment of this service. Be with the ones that are on the highways, Brother Isaac and them heading back to Ohio. Lord, give them safe travel and mercy. Just be with the ones that are leaving today, Lord, going back home. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one, Father. Forgive us of our sins and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Really pray for those brothers and sisters in Ohio. They're good people, and they, for some reason, they love our ministry here. So we've been trying to help them as much as we can, and they watch in religiously, if you say that. So let's just remember the people. Listen, there's a famine in the land for the true word of God. That's what the Bible said. I'm not telling you something of my thoughts. I'm telling you that's what the Bible said. In the end time, there would be a famine. We're not in a famine. We can eat squash casserole anytime we want to. Well, anytime somebody makes it for us. But you know, we go to Walmart, we get all of our food, we do not lack a meal. So that's not the famine it's talking about. But the famine is for the Word of God. And not just somebody to stand up and tell you their thought. But to bring you the Word of God, word by word. That's a miracle. You want to see a miracle? Brother Dale's been a miracle for 50 years. And it's not us keeping the Word of God straight, because we can't. We're humans. But if we let God do it, let Him speak through. We've heard the voice of God, and we continue to hear the voice of God. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. So that's what we're hearing. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him is not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Do y'all really realize that that's what happened 2,000 years ago? But do you know that same scenario is playing out today? That was the third coming of Elijah. We got the fourth coming of Elijah, which that's the third coming. We know that. But what did he do? He introduced Jesus Christ. What did the fourth coming of Elijah do? Introduced Jesus Christ. All right? The headship, the headstone. I'm talking about the Son of Man. I'm not talking about the Son of God down through the church ages. I'm talking about he introduced the Son of Man, the same man that was standing on the shores of Galilee that John introduced. We've got that same introduction right here in this end time. You're living under it. Amen? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We'll read that in a few minutes about Nicodemus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the transforming power of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. And we'll kind of skip through this. I think Bob's back there on the computer, so I'm going to really mess with him today. We're going to skip some stuff. You're just going to have to find it, Brother Bob. Okay? So now let's go to Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And as I said before this morning, think about it, though. When you sit down and you're just in the quietness of your room, think about what God did to get you here. You, not somebody else, you. What God did to get you here, and I'm not talking about here sitting in this building, but I am saying that journey of getting you here in this building, what brought you here? How many of you grew up never knowing your wife, then all of a sudden this girl appears? And there she is. You know, June's mom and dad had to get a divorce. Sorry. They had to get a divorce so her dad can move back to Homer or Banks County, Homer, Georgia. And she was living in Marietta. That's miles away. But at least we cleaned the gene pool out. Brought some new genetics into Banks County, which we needed immensely. But there she was, and her mom and dad had to get a divorce, and then her dad moved up to some property that they had bought back in the 60s as an investment. He comes up and builds a house right in the middle of the woods. When I first met her, she was living in a bread truck. Right? Living in a bread truck. Using the post hole diggers for her outhouse. That's how poor, though, that she was and what she went through. She had to get a job at McDonald's, and that's when I met her. And same way with most of you. Come from totally different walks of life. But God had his hand in every bit of it. Even though you might thought one day, Lord, where are you? But he had his hand in everything that we do. And just like when he's walked on this earth, he had a purpose. He didn't come here with no purpose. He came here with a purpose. So same way with me and you. We came here with a purpose. And we're either gonna manifest God or we're gonna manifest the devil. You can't manifest both. You're gonna manifest God or you're gonna manifest the devil. And to manifest God in the end time is what my whole point is. In the end time, we're gonna have to take a body change. So we're gonna have to come to a place that truly he's preparing our body now. Not a body somewhere else. He's preparing the body that you're sitting in today. He's going to change your mortal body. Amen? I don't know where these people get. We're going to have another body or a different body or a new body. I know what new is, but you better explain what new is. Because he said he's going to change your mortal body. Right? Hebrews 8. Going to change. If it's spirit that dwells in Jesus, dwell in you, he'll what? Quicken or change. He changed Jesus' body, didn't he? Right. Amen? So he's going to change your body the same way. And we were talking, somebody was talking the other day, and it's not a good word to say we got to figure this thing out, but there is it's not a Da Vinci code that we got to come up with. You got to turn the Bible the right way and let the sunlight shine through it so you can, you know, so it'll project on the wall and you can get the secret code. There's no secret code. It's the Word of God. Now, inside the Word of God are mysteries that you and I are being able to see that the world can't see. The world can't see some of these things that we're talking about. Even though it's written plainly in the Bible. Right there is what old brother says is plain as the nose on your face. It's written right here. Somebody asked me the other day, somebody said, we were at Leah's wedding and, talking to a man, a Greek Orthodox, her uncle, I believe it was, her cousin. And, he said, well, what do y'all believe? I said, we believe the Bible. If it says it in the Bible, then we believe it. He said, you don't believe in any tradition or believe in any kind of, creed. And I said, no. I said, if the Bible tells us to do this, then that's pretty much what we do. And we have to be careful because we're not supposed to sacrifice animals anymore because Jesus Christ came. Amen? Jesus Christ came. We don't have to go to sacrifice animals anymore. He was the ultimate sacrifice. So we have to bring certain things into the New Testament. But what we do that the world, what I'm telling you is that what did Jesus do? He walked into the world exactly the way the Bible said he would. Exactly. He didn't miss it by one word. And what they call him? Beelzebub. Wine bibber. You don't wash your hands before you eat. Right? You hang around publicans and sinners. You're doing all these things that we don't like that you do. And Jesus told him, he said, your traditions is what's killing you. I am the Word of God. I've done exactly what the Old Testament said I was going to do. And they turned him, well, they actually killed him. They hung him on the cross. So what are they going to do to us? Same thing. We're not normal to the world. But what this world calls normal, I can't read it in the Bible. Hello, somebody. I can't read it in the Bible. What they call normal. Being able to do whatever you want to and still be a Christian. I can't read that in the Bible. I read in the Bible where we're not supposed to cut our hair. We're not supposed to do these things. But they can't read. They read the same thing and they don't agree with it. That's tradition. And God's not in tradition. When Jesus walked on this earth, He wasn't a tradition. He was the Word made manifest in a human body that God spoke through. Now, how close is that to me and you? Oh, everybody believes it. Yeah, 2,000 years ago, this man named Jesus hung on a cross, but we believe He was the second person of the Trinity, and, you know, whatever, X, Y, Z, say whatever you want to. But they can't bring Him and put Him inside of me and you. Because that's what I told another man not too long ago. I said, look, if you say you've got Christ in your heart, and you can still drink and smoke, and you can still do the things you did out in the world, I said, how can that same Holy Spirit, which that Spirit is supposed to be holy, in me condemns me for doing those things? How can that same person do that? That same person cannot do that. He can't allow this and not allow this. It's not that way. But see, if you ever nail it down, like we were talking about, I said this morning, you can talk about somebody's parents, how sorry they are, and you might get by with it. But when you start pointing somebody in the nose and say, your doctrine is wrong, they'll kill you. Because that's what they did with Jesus. They killed Him for what He believed. Now, He didn't do anything to them, but He came exactly the way the Word said He would come. What about us? If we come exactly the way the Word says we'll come. Sure, we have our inadequacies and we have sin in our life because we're born in sin. We're born with a carnal nature in the mind, in that realm up here. But inside of us, that spiritual rudder tells me those things are wrong if I can read in the Bible. And not to do them. I don't know where we're going with this, but it's the Son of Man, folks. The Son of Man is, when He walked on this earth, it was a man, so much man like me and you, they didn't know He was God. What are they going to do about me and you? They called Him a devil because He didn't believe the way they believed. Right? But He came exactly, He rolled that scroll open this morning. He rolled that scroll open. Went to Isaiah and He put His finger and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And all those things. And He shut the book and He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. Now what, where did those converts go? He didn't have a convert. They just did not believe what He was talking about. Even though the Bible says they listened intently and precious words proceeded out of His mouth. Those same people hung Him on a cross about 2 or 3 years later. Same people, religious people. It's what killed Jesus. The sinners and the publicans, and they loved Him. He was saving them. He was turning their life around. He was feeding them. He was doing things for them. He was raising their dead. But when He, and that's what we're going to get to at the very end, when Jesus stood one day and said, I and my Father are one. Now we no, our tradition says something different. Our denomination says He's the second person of this Trinity, that there's no such thing as a Trinity in the Bible. Same thing. Listen, them devils don't die. The same devils that hung Jesus on the cross is what's persecuting you right now. Hello? That's what's persecuting you right now. Devils don't die. What do you think those... I heard a preacher the other day. He said, you know, he said, those devils wanted to be cast into the swine. And Jesus told them to go. But then the swine killed herself. Well, those 1,000 demons went somewhere else. They knew if God would let them, or if Jesus would let them go into the swine, run off and die, they could be released to go somewhere else. They just went over and got another bunch of human beings. Because they don't die, they just kind of move around. And that's the same way with us. We're fighting demons that they fought 2,000 years ago. If Jesus fought them, you and I are going to fight them. But here this man comes into the earth, though, and he says, I'm the one you've been looking for. I am the bread. What's that? I am. Remember, that's personal. He didn't say you are, Caiaphas, oh wonderful man you are, oh priest, bishop, whatever your name is. No, he said I. He said, I'm the bread that came out of heaven. Y'all talk about this manna. That was a type of me. I'm the bread of life now. You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Whoa! Oh, no. Now, wait a minute. You're a vampire. They didn't get the revelation. Sarah, that was funny, wasn't it? But that's what it was. He said the exact same thing, though. He kept that same line even when he went to the communion table that evening at the Last Supper. He said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you'll have no part with me. Now, what are you and I partaking of? That same body. And I believe the prophet told us that we're the blood by the Spirit, the bride. Do you understand one thing's for sure? When he said, he stood and said, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Didn't know what he said? Because remember what he said? I mean, there was a guy laying there on a pallet or something was happening. And I believe it was a guy laying on a pallet, the one that they let down through the window, through the wall or ceiling. And he said, rise up, your sins are forgiven. And the religious world went haywire. Right? I mean, they berated him standing right there in front of them. He turned around and he said, this was done so that you could know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said, what, in other words, what, I should have said, you're healed, rise up and walk. But he said, your sins are forgiven. What's the difference? Didn't the Bible tell us that when we pray and somebody prays for us, Brother Branham even tells us that if we're prayed for, that our sins will be forgiven? Because what is a disease? It's sin. What is a virus? It's sin. What is a headache? It's sin. It's a demon. It's not God. And if something happens to your body. So there's a demon. So when you come up here and you say, I want my sins forgiven, what do y'all all think? Oh, you're doing something wrong. May just be that we're sick and we need healing. We need the power of God to heal us from our sins. Amen? I mean, if you need deliverance from smoking, drinking, cussing, and doing all that stuff, you need a new birth. That's a different prayer. We need to pray that prayer that Jesus is fixing to tell Nicodemus. You must be born again. Amen? When we pray, asking, the Bible tells us that the man's prayer and the sins of that man will be forgiven. And that come from the Son of Man, because that's what he was doing. He stood, and what I'm telling you, everything that we do in Christianity, everything that we do that's pure and holy, that man was an example when he was on earth and he did the same thing. That's right. That's the example we have. We don't have any other, we can't use Caiaphas for an example. He killed Jesus. Put him on cross. So we can't use him. Can't use Peter. He was always wanting to kill somebody or curse a little bit, right? Can't use Judas. He was the devil. So we use Jesus Christ. Because he was not close to God. He was God. But he was walking in human flesh. And that's the problem that people have today. God walking in human flesh. Oh, we can't take that. Well, is that what your tradition says? Who told you you couldn't take it? It wasn't God. I'll be you therefore perfect. When I come back as the comforter, I'll be with you even in you. Don't take any thought what you're going to say. I'll tell you what to say when you need it. Now, does that sound like somebody that talks to you every day? Like I said this morning, the devil talks to us a lot more than God does. Amen? But we just need to say, get behind me, Satan. And walk forward. Because remember, Jesus didn't do any hocus pocus. Satan come to him and said, I'll give you this world if you'll bow on your knee and worship me. I'm going to knock you off this temple. I know what's going to happen. You know, you're going to settle down and nothing's going to happen to you. No. He said, Satan, don't tempt God. And then he finally said, it is said. In other words, I'm speaking to you. You need to leave. How many times have we done? Because remember, what does the Bible tell us? Resist the devil. And he'll what? Walk away? No. Flee. That means run swiftly away from you. And what's our problem by not quoting that scripture? What's our problem by not being that scripture? That's our problem, is we've not become scripture. We've been quoters. We've quoted. Like I said before, I say unto thee. We had a prophet in the end time. Several times. Squirrels were created. His wife, you know, the five times the third pool were his wife's tumor that was on her body. That he said before the doctor will touch your body, he said that tumor will be gone. He spoke things and they happened. We've seen it in the ministry here that spoke things and they happened. How many of y'all have said things? You spoke things. And you say, well, no, I had to get up. No, you say, Lord, this is what I need. And he gives it to you. That's speaking the word. That's the spoken word becoming alive in a heart and life of people. Jesus didn't have to work up anything. This Son of Man didn't have to work up anything. He didn't have to get up in the morning and make sure he read the scripture just to say who he was. He knew who he was. He knew who he was because he had a revelation of who he was. And if you get a revelation of who you are, then you've got the same situation he did. What am I trying to say? This thing that we're trying to become, others have made it so hard to get to. Why would God, that didn't have to come down here and give his life, but he did give his life so we could go to that perfection, make it hard? Why would he make it hard? He made it the easiest he could make it. Follow my word. Believe who I am. Not who I was, not who I'm going to be. But believe who I am, that I am ever present. Before Abraham was, that really tripped them up. Because they said, well, we have Abraham. We've got Moses. He said, if you'd believe Moses, you'd believe me. That's what we say to the world. That's what you should say. You shouldn't be ashamed of your gospel. Well, why do y'all do this? And it? Because it's in the Bible. Then you ask them, why don't you do it? Well, my church says, whoa, wait a minute. What about this? I thought this was the absolute. I thought that's what God said. Not what your tradition or your denomination says. And I'm talking about denomination sitting in this building. Our ideas, contrary to the word of God, is a denomination. Everybody got that? Ma'am? But when we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see the life of Jesus. Now remember too, you got to remember that Jesus, he said, I do nothing except the Father show me. Now we have to be careful with that because it wasn't talking about his everyday living. God didn't have to tell him when to eat. The one inside of him didn't have to. Listen, the one inside of me tells me when I need to eat. That's me. When my stomach starts growling, time to eat. That's my trouble. It growls too soon and I go ahead and feed it. But you understand what I'm saying? When Jesus said that, then you like Daddy said, he thought a long time ago that Jesus couldn't even stump his toe, or working in a carpenter shop, he couldn't, you know, if a board was to fall off the ceiling, it would either go through him or he'd be miraculously, you know, get out of the way. No, he was a human being. If he learned by the things he suffered, as we read this morning, then he suffered some things. And being made perfect. He was subject to his parents, children. He was subject to his parents, though he be Almighty God. But he remembered the commandment that he wrote. Honor thy father and thy mother, that your days will be long on the face of the earth. He remembered what he wrote. But here he said, before Abraham was, I am, I am, I am. He kept being personal. And I think that's our problem. We haven't become so personal. Or personal enough. Now you don't have to go out there and walk into your job tomorrow and say, I'm God. Promise you, they're going to make you prove it. And the results may not be very good. But you just go through and do your daily life and you do your daily things. But you're not part of the world. You don't do the things of the world. You don't do the worldly things. The worldly things don't tie you up like they used to tie you up. That thing just kind of shed. That's what Jesus kind of shed off of him. Just. But what do we do though? We bring it back in. And let it fester. And let it work where God should be doing the work. Amen? We all do that. But why not? Lord, you said in your word, this is what I should do. That's why God, and it stumps me a little bit when the prophet of God tells me that a woman that cuts her hair, the Bible says it's an abomination for her to do that. And the prophet brings it a little bit more stronger and he says, God won't even hear her prayer for anything else but salvation. That's pretty bold, but it's what the word says. A husband has a right to put a wife away if she cuts her hair. That's how strong that is. But who preaches that anymore? Churches would be empty and the divorce rate would be in the hundreds of thousands, millions. That's why you and I, listen, you and I are not perfect, but we try to live as perfect as we can. We have been given a perfect word, and we can go to this word of God and say, God, you said right here, this is what we have. This is my promise, right here. And you hold him to that promise. Who is this Son of Man? God. Made human flesh. A body. Thou hast prepared me. And I say in the new birth, he's prepared you a body. Behold, I go away to prepare a place. Well, we know that we're going to have a place to live. We know that. But what did he go to prepare? Place for the world? Brick and mortar? No. He went away and prepared a way for me and you to live in this house and be like him. We sing that song, to be like Jesus. Do we really want to be? I'm laying off my notes a little bit today, but that's okay. But what do you do? What are we doing here? I believe we are trying. And I believe the world's trying the best that they know. But they haven't been given light like you and I've been given light. So more given, more required. So we're required to, you know, some, and it stumbles people sometimes when you do go to places and we had a something the other day. There was a a man at the house. He was a lawyer, and we were signing some papers for a certain thing. And he said, man, I really like being around you guys. And I said, well, I'll be up your way. He's in it from Ackworth, and his law office was just half a mile off of 75. I said, well, that's when I was going to Illinois the first time. I said, well, I'm right there. I said, I'll stop by. And he said, well, I'll buy you a beer. I said, I don't drink. He about fell out of his truck. He went, okay. Like, it's just common, though. How many times, though, has he seen clients that said, hey, I'll buy you a beer, and they're like, I'll be there tomorrow. Right? Because that's what's inside of them. That's the motivator that's still there. But it wasn't anything for me to go, well, now, that's Ackworth, and that's about 100 miles from here. They won't be nobody around to see me. Might taste pretty good. No, that's the old me. That's the old you. There's no thought anymore. The thought may come, but you don't entertain it. See, that's the way with Jesus. I don't believe Jesus walked around in a state I don't want to say holiness, but he didn't walk around and everything in his mind was pure. Because that was his battleground too. That's our battleground. I can't believe that he lived with, no, he didn't live, now listen, he didn't live with a woman, but he lived with Mary Magdalene, lived with them in the same house. Remember him, Lazarus, Mary, Margaret, all the ones, they all lived together. Well, Mary was a prostitute. So, you know, Jesus had to see some things. You understand what I'm saying? So let's don't condemn ourselves. Those thoughts are going to come. Yeah. Young people, don't fight them. They'll make you crazy. But don't entertain them either. I believe the thought would come and then it would leave. Jesus had enough about him that thought would come and it would never nest anywhere. And he never even thought about it. It just left. Same way with me and you should be. What is our problem? We entertain the thoughts that we have. Hello? Yeah. Every one of us. Our problem is we entertain those thoughts. Now, if Jesus could have them, get rid of them, and where is he now? He's inside of you. That's what I'm talking about with this Son of Man. I'm talking about it's not some far-fetched something we can't attain to. He walked in human flesh. Yes, he was God Almighty. Yes, he was virgin born. But he was without sin. Now, how many look at the Bible? How many times the Bible tells us that we're perfect? Sinless. All these different things that the Bible tells us that we are. And then we walk around saying, well, I'm just the biggest sinner there ever was. Well, you know what? Get born again. Try that every once in a while. You get born again, it's like Brother Branham and Brother Dale also. You can sit and beat on women and men to quit doing this and quit doing that. That's just Alcoholics Anonymous. That's just trying to get you to get into another thought. But I'll promise you, you get, all you're doing is suppressing the devils that's still working. But when that devil leaves, I have no entertained thought of drinking a beer. Or running around. Or smoking a cigarette. Or doing anything, whatever I did before. Because that person's not there anymore. See, to me, Lord, that's what's helping me. And even though you may be in a journey and you're not exactly born again or not, if you're even in sanctification, that will help you. But you gotta keep going. You gotta keep walking. I picked up a scripture and that's kinda why I'm leading through this. But I want to read this scripture in Ezekiel 47. It says, when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, they don't have it. But you can read Ezekiel 47 verse 3. This is the Bible. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Watch how this progresses. The water, Ezekiel 47 3, the water was to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Everybody got that? A Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water was at my loins. For us older folks, you're going to have to make that just a little bit bigger. A little bit. But look, afterward, and I'm going to tell you who this he is in just a second. Afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in. Now, it started out with water that you couldn't even put a fish in to the ankle, this deep. Justification gets you in the water. But it's only to your ankles. The rest of you is out of the water. What's sanctification? That water was to his knees. What do you do when you, what did you do more than anything when you went through sanctification? I stayed on my knees a lot. Praying to God, take away this stuff that's bothering me. Take away all this stuff, right? Right, Brother Zach? Stayed on my knees, so there's water to the knees. Then it got to the loins. What's the loins? Life, new birth. But we gotta keep going. And after it was a river that I could swim in. It took all my sins away. But watch. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. That Son of Man revelation, if the Son of Man hadn't have come in the first time, you'd never have salvation. There was no salvation in the Old Testament. There was no salvation in bulls and goats. But there is salvation when that Son of Man hit the earth. And water is a cleaner. Justification to the ankles. Sanctification to the knees. The baptism of the Holy Ghost to the loins. And then we go even further than that. We get to swim in this water. We get to go somewhere. We get to move. That's what the Son of Man did for me and you. He showed us that life could be lived. A Christian life could be lived. What is a Christian life? Christ-like living. So, go back to the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read that. And you say, yeah, we fall short. But you got to remember, inside your soul, he came to redeem your soul first. Amen? And when he comes to redeem your soul, he's beginning now to clean out your body. Now let's go to this passage of scripture that we want to get to. And Brother Bob, you're going to have to go to it because I'm getting to it. I went to it. I went around Stone Mountain. I didn't go over it. So you're going to have to go way over to John 2, and then we're going to read John 2 and 3. John 2 verse 1. I'll let him find it. John 2 verse 1. Everybody all right? Now why did it happen on the third day? Everything happens on the third day. Threes and sevens. Well, there's a, on the, and the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan. You get married in your third stage, right? You're not married in justification. You're not married in sanctification. You're married at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. He was called to the supper. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto them, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, she was telling him, you need to do something about this. Or you can do something about this. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set 6 water pots of earth. Stone. Earthly vessel. Full of water. Not wine yet. You think of Brother Dick now? I know you do, boy. He loved that song. He turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine. I believe he's singing it now. And there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. and they filled them up to the brim. Now, after that, they started dipping the water out. But who did it take to change that water into wine? Not a sacrifice. They didn't have to go. In other words, now they did this in the manner of the purifying of the Jews. So he was still in the Old Testament, but they didn't have to go run and throw a lamb up on the altar and make a sacrifice for this to happen. He was standing there. He was the wine. He was the number seven that was standing there and for six church ages. Yeah, they had a little watered down gospel, but it was something that would get them in. Remember, I read you, Brother Bram said that. It got them in, made them Christians, made them live good. But there stood number seven. There stood the Son of Man. And look, he really never said, I now turn this water into wine. It's never recorded. He just told them to fill up the water pots, and they filled the water pots to the brim, and then if you go into number eight, they just start handing it out. As they would dip it, it would become wine. As they would dip it, it would become wine. That's what me and you, every portion we get. What are you saying, Brother Wade? Listen, you don't need a preacher standing beside you every day. You don't need a preacher in your ear every second of the day trying to make you live right. He's there. He's the one that's going to make you live right. He's the one that's going to turn your water or your problems into wine. Now, John 3, verse 1. This is continuation of, like I said, I'm going to stay in the book of John. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, this is their equivalent of our Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn. Sorry, Benny Perry, didn't mean that. Everybody knows Benny Perry. So, Benny Hinn, you know, the religious people we look to, Max Licato and all the different things. Here's this guy, the epitome of religion. Everybody okay with this? The epitome of religion. Nicodemus, the ruler. Not ruler of that, but ruler over the synagogue, and everything was perfect. He did everything right, according to the Old Testament. But he just didn't know the New Testament was standing in front of him. Remember, you and I have to shift. We got to know the day and hour we're living. Justification under Wesley will not get you in the body today, but it got them in the body. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. And he came at night. He didn't come when all the other religious people were walking around in the... No, he was a little bit embarrassed. Everybody all right with that? He came at night when it was dark so he could slip in through the back. Then came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, look, we know thou art a teacher come from God. We know it says in the Bible to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We know that thou art a teacher come from God. So why ain't he following? Because of his what? Religion. Because of his status with Gamaliel and Benny Hinn and Jensen Franklin and all these, you know. And that's okay. They're good men. But are they teaching the perfect Word of God? That's just my question. If they're not teaching the perfect Word of God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Wow. I mean, wow. Well, he's testifying. He's actually hanging himself. Now, what did Jesus say? Now, Nicodemus, if you'll just keep doing what you're doing, you'll be fine. Your traditions is good. They're fine. Everything, your denomination, whatever they say, if you want to drink a little bit, you go right ahead. No, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, verily, verily, listen, listen. except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that word see, if you'll look it up, it means understand. He cannot understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Carnal. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And I'm sure Jesus didn't. I'm like Brother Dale said, this conversation, we're going to read this conversation. I'm sure it lasted a long time. They talked about a lot of things. Because there was Nicodemus. There was Jesus. How can I do this? And I'm sure he said, Nicodemus, this is what's killing you is your first birth. Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now what is the kingdom of God? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not some palm trees and waterfalls and certain buildings and certain city. No, the kingdom of God, I thought the Bible said the kingdom of God is within inside you. Amen? So what is the kingdom of God? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The truth of the Word of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes, and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. There's only one way to tell. And that's your fruits. That's your fruits. Nicodemus in his answer said unto him, how can these things be? He's still doubting. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? In other words, have you not read Acts 2:38? Have you not read there in Corinthians? Have you not read there in Deuteronomy? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Have you not read these things? You read them in the Bible and you say, well, that's not for me. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that what we do and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. He's telling him, I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the scripture, I'm telling you that I am standing here because we're going to read on, continue on. A lot of people stop right here, but we need to keep on reading because we got to get to John 3:16. We're at 12 now. If I told you earthly things and you believe them not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man, now this is what probably tripped him up. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, now ascended, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's a revelation right there. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, you say, well, what is a revelation? Sure, he was encapsulated in that body, but he came from heaven. Right. And he came down here, and he's going back. Right. Remember, he said, I come from God, I go back to God. He didn't go back to a first person of a Trinity either. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, showing he had to be put on a cross. That whosoever believeth in him, now this is John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now there you stood. There was the Son. The Son of Man was standing right there telling him these things. Now watch. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't condemn the world. You condemn yourself. Right. If he died for everybody, he can't condemn the whole world. You bring that condemnation on by not receiving what he did. But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Let me read that one more time. How many times do we deal with condemnation? Wake up! How many of us deal with condemnation? Oh, thank you. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What's the name of the only begotten Son of God? Son? No. Jesus Christ. That's why that baptism is so important. To be connected. If you get married, you're not just bride and groom. That's not your name on the marriage certificate. Your name goes on that marriage certificate because you could put husband and wife and it could mean 7 billion different people. But when you put Samuel Wade Dale II and June Thomas Dale, you two, everybody in this building knows exactly who that's talking about. That's why that baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most, if not the most, it's an important part of your journey, your first part of your journey. But this is the condemnation. Look, that light is coming to the world. Now he's talking to Nicodemus. He said, I've come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. In other words, they're turning me down and I'm the light. What are they doing to you? Same thing. Listen. When they turn you down, they're not turning you down. Who was it? Was it Samuel? Or one of the prophets said, God, they turned me down. They won't listen to me. And God said, they're not turning you down. You're saying what I told you to say. So they're turning me down. You turn a preacher down in the pulpit that's preaching the Word of God, you're not turning that preacher down. I said that he's preaching the Word of God. You're not turning that preacher down, you're turning God down. Think about it. You're turning God down. Because I didn't choose this. God chose it to be this way. That you needed apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to bring you the Word of God and then you make a decision. I can't make you make a decision and I can't make the decision for you. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They didn't just don't like it, they hate it.
Right.
Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, let's watch this. He that doeth truth cometh to the light.
Right. Right.
He that doeth what the Word saith cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. Look, that they come from God, are wrought in God. Same thing. They come from God. Your deeds, according to the Bible, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Listen, the only way, I'm going to stop, we'll be done right here. I'm going to read these couple of quotes. The only way this world is going to be condemned or saved is because the Son of Man came on the earth 2,000 years ago and started. Remember I read that scripture this morning, Revelation 3:14. He was the beginning of the creation of God. If there's a beginning, there's got to be a continuation. So he was the beginning of the creation of God, the one that came the right way, so that you and I could come the right way. So that we could do away the flesh that was born of flesh, that's fine. The one of the Spirit, though, is born of the Spirit, it's over here. Everybody got that? That's what he came for. And this world will be judged by me and you. Because we are him. We'll read scripture later on. He says, my judgment is true. Jesus stood one day and he said, hey, my judgment is true. What about me and you? Let me read this right here real quick and then we'll close. These are two quotes from Brother Brown. This is meanest man I know, Phoenix, Arizona, 1962. The prophet of God said, and perhaps maybe he just got through with a sermon of, you know, Jesus' first doctrine. Did you ever know what it was? What's Jesus' first doctrine? What's the Son of Man's first doctrine? Ye must be born again. That was his first doctrine. You must be born again. Now let's read this one and we'll close right here. I want you to listen to what he said. This is at the end of the sermon. This is the last paragraph of the sermon before he turns it over to Brother Neville. Watch what he says. Now remember, I believe that Jesus Christ says this to every human being on his first doctrine. Except a man be born of water, that's the Word, washing of water by the Word, and of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit confirming the Word, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Do you believe that? See, of the water, washing of the water by the Word, Word and truth. He is truth. Now, they can read the Word, but can they get the truth out of it? Can we get the truth out of it? Making God live in me, see? We cannot understand the kingdom of heaven till that's happened. You can fight. That's why we fight, people. That's why we fight in ourselves. We fight because some people just ain't got the kingdom inside of them. If you don't have the kingdom inside, you're going to fight.
Right.
We cannot understand the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Till that's happened. Look, then when that begins to happen, that we see the Word in us, born of the Word and of the Spirit, manifesting itself, leading me not away from the Word. The Spirit leads me to the Word. And the Word living in me, making God manifest in your life. He says you'll never understand the kingdom of God and can no wise enter in until you get born again. And not just, you got to manifest. You got to be born. Oh, I made a decision 25 years ago. I hear that all the time from some of my old friends. While they have a beer in their hand. And that was my question to them, and that's my question to you. What did you get saved from? If you got saved, what did you get saved from? If you're still doing the same thing you were doing before, what did you get saved from? Saved means you were drowning, somebody picked you up out of the water, put you back in the boat.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Something changed.
Right.
You're not drowning anymore. You know what? You know what most people's definition of religion is, though? I'm going to be about that high. I'm going to keep the water right here. Leave me down there in that water, okay, Lord? I don't need you to put me in the boat because that means I got to change. But if you'll just let me just, you know, don't let the water get up to my nose. You can get it right here if you want to. That's not salvation. Salvation is God picked you up, took you out of the water, and set you in the boat.
Amen.
That's saved.
Amen.
And you know what? I don't want to go back there no more.
Right.
That's death. I could drown. But if I'm sitting in the boat, I'm saved.
Right.
What are we living? I'm not saying this for me and you. What the part that we're living is what the Son of Man lived on earth. And he wrote it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He expounded on it in Acts, Corinthians, Ephesians. The acts of the what? Believers. The way they acted. And how they believe, how they act in the book of Acts. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is what? Unto you and to your children and to them that are afar off, that's us, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's covered all 7 billion people.
Right.
Amen?
That's right.
There's your promise.
Amen.
That comes with a promise.
Yes.
To be baptized in a name. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19. He said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What is the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can enter into heaven is to take on a name. That's the only way when you get married you have to take on the name of your the bridegroom. Right? You're not married if you don't. Sorry, you're not. You're not married if you don't take on the name of the bridegroom. Because you're just there. You just had a ceremony. You just like each other. But June gave up her whole self. She laid her old life, not on me, but on God, but she laid her old life of being June Thomas. She didn't have a middle name. June Thomas was her name. June Thomas was her last name. She gave up that life and she took on my name. And that made us connected. So under the power of the Bible and the power of civil law, we're able to do a lot of things. Right? That's the same way with the new birth. If you're married, in the new birth, if you're married to Christ. You're not married to a tradition. You're not married to a second person of a Trinity or a third person of a Trinity. You're married to God Himself. How in the world are you going to have two lovers? The Father and the Son, which one are you married to? And then the Holy Ghost, where's He at? But if you'd make Him the same person, we married the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the Son of Man. He came on earth. He's still the Creator. He's still the Father. He's still Jehovah. He's still the one that led the children of Israel. He's still the captain of the host. He's still the one that met Joshua, the captain of the host. He's still all those things. But see, they can't but just a few people call Him my husband. I can't do that. Bella can't run up and say, "Oh, you're my husband. You're my husband." No. Uh-uh. No. Right? Yes. Amen. Okay, let's get over that, all right? But look, no, she has no right. You have no right to just say, "Oh, I'm married to that one." There's qualifications you got to meet. Because that's why I love weddings, and I love to watch, and I love to participate in them. Because you think about Christ and His bride. How that you give yourself over to a person in the natural, sisters and brothers, naturally speaking. But how that when you get born again, you give yourself over to Christ. Every bit of you. Because if you don't get married. I've never seen, well, it may have happened sometime before, but I've never seen a bride and a groom come up here and you know, he's getting ready to lift the veil, getting ready to kiss her, and she says, "Now, wait a minute. Things are going to change around here." And she starts telling him, or he starts telling her, what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. They might work that out later on somewhere else, but at the ceremony, that don't happen. Amen? Same way with us. We lay everything we got on Jesus Christ. Musicians, come on. We lay everything on Jesus Christ. He's our Father. He's our husband. He's everything we need. Amen. Wrapped up in one person. But you and I are privileged, like I said before. We're the only people that's privileged to call Him my husband. Amen. And you can't just frivolously call Him your husband just because you think about Him every once in a while. And you read in the Bible every once in a while. And you pick up a book every once in a while that says Jesus. I thought it was a personal relationship with God. Where you personally talk to Him. Have you ever told God you love Him? You got to love Him more than you love your natural wife. Hello? Your natural wife is filial love. That's okay. But agape love is the love you have for God. And the only way you can have agape love is have the new birth. Ye must be born again. Not handshake, not sprinkle, not turn around and say, "Well, I'm going to try to quit. I'm going to try to quit this." Come on. Let's stand to our feet. Let's get this thing right. If we can get it right at the beginning, right? Get it right at the beginning. When we build a house, and we don't care if it's square when we first start. We're just going to put some boards up because we believe this is what's going to be. Fine. What's going to happen when we start putting everything together and trying to get the walls to fit? And trying to get the ceiling joists to fit where they're supposed to, and they're off 2 feet over here and a foot over here, and it's not totally square. Why? We started wrong. If we start right, start your journey right, there won't be. You'll have problems, no doubt. But you won't have as many. And you'll know how to handle them. I've always said, the new birth's not going to take away your problems, but it'll teach you how to handle them. You'll be able to handle them better than you've ever handled anything else in your life. Get God in your life. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's your husband. Look at his characteristics. Start imitating what your husband is doing, and you'll come out a whole lot better. Because he promised us that if we did, he'd give us eternal life. Let's sing a song. God bless your heart.
Born again, thank God I'm born again. Born again, thank God I'm born again. Oh, born again, thank God I'm born again. Born of what? Born of the water, spirit and the blood, praise God I'm born again. Oh, born by the water and the spirit and the blood, thank God I'm born again. Water, the spirit, and the blood. Thank God I'm born again. What now? Goodbye, world. You're born again. Goodbye, world. Get rid of that thing. Longer with you.
My mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I made up my mind. Go God's way the rest of my life.
Say it to him.
Oh, born again. Thank God I'm born again. Born again. Thank God I'm born again. Born again. Born again. Born again. Thank God I'm born again. Born of the water, and the spirit and the blood. Thank God
Lord,
I'm
pray in the name of Jesus
again.
Christ that you would help our sister, Lord, that this healing will come, Lord, as a miracle.
Thank God I'm
Father, that they
again.
Will see things, Lord, that they've
born
never seen before because she comes,
blood.
Lord, to you, Lord. And she's asking, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal this body, Lord, quicker than it's supposed to heal, Lord. Give her supernatural healing, Father, and bless these one, Lord. Bless her, Lord, as she goes tomorrow to work, Lord, that you'll be with her, Lord, and all those things, Lord, that maybe we have, she's a little nervous about, Lord. May she not be nervous about them anymore, Lord. May she just do her job and do it right, Lord, according to the glory and honor of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasure. Made up my mind. Rest of my life.
Have you done? Have you made up your mind?
Way the rest of my life.
Sing it one more time. Oh, born
again. Thank God I'm born again.
I'd go crazy. Amen. I'd go crazy if I wasn't born again. And now that I am born again, I've gone crazy. I've lost my mind.
Thank God I'm born again. The spirit and the blood, praise God, I'm born again. I'm born by the water and spirit and the blood, praise God, I'm born again. Goodbye, world. Oh, I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasure. With you, I've made up my mind. The rest of my life. I made up my mind. Go God's way the rest of my life.
Amen. We're going to pray for the Urego family. They're going to a foreign country. And they're going to be doing work. They don't know what in the world they're going to get into. We know this virus is, they say, another one's coming. But we got a God. And that God will protect us if we'll sincerely ask Him. I'm going to give you this. We prayed over it many times. If you want to cut it up when you get over there, or just keep it with you either way. So let's all pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that our brother, his wife, and two daughters would be kept from all the perils that could befall them, Lord, as they travel for all these many weeks, Lord. They're going to be susceptible to many things during that time, Lord. Diseases, virus, bad food, maybe different things. Lord, we pray that you'd sanctify everything that they touch. Lord, every room they walk into. I pray, Lord, that that sanctifying power will cleanse everything in there. And Lord, they'll come back with good reports, Father, and they'll bring us, Lord, reports of salvation, of healing.
Yes.
Lord, of different things, Lord, of people, Lord, getting rid of the things that they're supposed to get rid of. And Lord, our brother, Lord, preach the gospel to them. And our sister, Lord, and the two daughters be playing instruments and singing, Lord, for the glory of God. May they also minister to the people, Lord. And that they'll help them, Lord, and let them see for Christians.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
That's all I want.
Thank you, Father.
Is to know that they've been with Christian people.
Thank you, Father.
And Lord, I pray that you'd be with them now as they travel, be with the air flight, the cars,
yes,
all the traveling over there, Lord. It'll be 7 weeks of different travels all over those countries.
Thank you, Lord.
You'd be with them, Lord. Give them traveling mercies and bring them back home safe, Father.
Brandon,
we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank
God bless you. Love you. We're going to keep them in prayer. And I've asked Bella to keep us updated. But Louise said that even maybe on New Year's Eve, when we have our New Year's Eve service, we may be able to connect in and we'll pull down the screen and we'll be able to see them live. Or they're working on that. So we'll see if that will happen. And then they'll sing a special for us while they're over there. So that'll be something that we can connect to and be way down, how many, 3,000 miles away? Probably close to it, at least. He'll be down south. They'll be southerners for a little while. But we're going to pray them back, right?
Amen?
Amen. And we're going to, listen, the believers over there, they're hungry. They're hungry for God. They're hungry for something. Not just just for a minute. We go over there as Americans to different countries. And they love us just because we're Americans, because we bring something new, we bring something different. And shamefully, a lot of it is what's got them messed up in some of their doctrines.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right,
Brother Kern?
Yeah,
it's come from America, because we were the good guys that came over there first. What did Brother Bosworth tell Brother Branham right before he died? He said, Brother Branham, get on the field. He said, get there before they do. And he said, tell them the truth. So that's what we're doing with Brother Luis and the different ones. The people we send and the people you give money for and the people we choose those people by the way that they act and their fruits and how they preach. We just don't send somebody to go over there and preach two souls and seven thunders. That's not fruitful. That's not... You go over there and confuse people. We've seen confused people, haven't we, Brother Dale? We've seen confused people in these places. They've just never been taught because they're not like us. We're so instant. We got everything. Got it on our watches. We got the message everywhere, and some of them don't have that. That's the message they'll see right there. That's the message they'll see. And when Brother Dale goes, or myself, or anybody goes over, that's the message they see. And I want to carefully protect that message.
Yes.
Carefully protect it. So we know Brother Luis is going to carefully protect it. He's going to go over there and he's going to preach them the gospel. Unadulterated and pure. And not take them some strange doctrine that'll confuse them. Why would you want to confuse somebody? You want to go to help. So we need to pray for him. That if he does come against some of that he'll have the strength and the knowledge to be able to talk about it. How many of y'all been to places and you get in a conversation with somebody and you find out what they believe? Yeah. You pretty much can know where they come from by the doctrine they preach. Somebody was from here, was somewhere else, and they say, oh, you go to Lula. That's okay. It's all right with me. It was the truth that they were saying. It wasn't a lie, it was the truth. Oh, you go to Lula. By the way we act. By the way you become the word that you are. And if you're false doctrine, you can't become true doctrine. You gotta become false doctrine. But to be true doctrine, you become true doctrine, and then you can take it. Now look at Paul. Paul went all over that, all of Asia. He had disputations with different people. Sure, absolutely. They stoned him. They almost killed him. They beat him. But he preached the pure gospel. And he set up churches here and churches here and churches here. And those churches are what Christendom began with. But remember, it began with the truth. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing Brother Luis and the different ones. Take the truth to the people. Being on those Zoom meetings and you know, preaching to the people on those, that's the only thing they're going to get, folks. And I want to thank you again for putting forth the money so that we can send people. And that I was able to go a couple of times to Philippines, 11 times to Jamaica. Dad went 10 times to Jamaica and took a time or two to the Philippines. And different other places. Thank you. Because your money was not used frivolously. It was used to forward the kingdom of God. And you'll know, when you get to heaven, you'll know. An infinite God will say, okay, that dollar you made off of that job you did in Peoli Junction, Gary Grant, that dollar you put in a collection plate, I'm going to tell you what it helped. God can do that. You know, you put in $5 and you thought, man, that's the last $5 I got right now. I can't get me no cheeseburger or anything. You know, I'm going to give this. God will tell you when we get over there on the other side, he'll say that $5 saved two souls because it let Luis go five more miles to another place and it saved two souls. And that was the ones I was looking for when you put that money in the collection plate. That's what God's going to do for us. Sometimes we think we're very insignificant. No, we're not. We all have a purpose. You'll just may never see it till you get to the other side. But we all have a purpose. Let's bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day that you give us. Lord Jesus, we've had baby dedications. We've had two that are coming to be married. We've got one that has taken off for several weeks, Lord. We've got others to come in, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with each one of us. Lord, truly, we're not an organization, but we are an organism. That we work together, Lord. For the kingdom of God. And that's the way you set it up, Lord. Was for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And there's no other name whereby men may be saved, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you more that you've saved our soul. That you've given us eternal life. Now I pray, Lord, that we'll turn around and give that eternal life to someone else. That will this week, Lord, we'll got many people going back to work, Lord, and I'll be traveling and several ones will be traveling, Lord. We pray that you just be with each one, Father. Sanctify them on their journey, Father, and just bring them back, Lord, to church, Father. Be with Brother Aaron on Wednesday night as he speaks, Lord. Be with Brother Martin this coming weekend. We ask your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on our congregation.